It's October 2011, and I'm in the car driving on I-95 south to Miami to visit with Dr. Diaz. He was a trade show lead. He was interested in our managed IT services. The only problem is, I didn't know much about our services. The goal of this appointment is to visit, understand what his needs are, take that information back to my company, and to see how we can help them. The whole way down to this meeting, I was confused. What am I going to do? I got to his facility, parked the car. Got in the elevator, took it up to the fourth floor. When I got to his office, I went inside and visited with Dr. Diaz. Because I was afraid of actually asking questions and figuring out what the true problem was, I built rapport for as long as I could. And the reason being was that was my strength, to ask the appropriate question now, to figure out what his problem was. So, Dr. Diaz, what would you say the main reason is you're looking for a managed IT service? Well, Donald, I just want to make sure my facility is secure and protected. I really didn't know where to take the conversation. I know, it sounds basic right now, right? But I was so confused, I was so perplexed, I did not know what questions to ask to build value, to find true issues, and to help the prospect to say yes. It was like this mental gymnastic in my head over and over. I left that meeting feeling just deflated. I felt like I didn't really have what I needed to do to present it to my company. I learned a lot that day. You need to come prepared. You need to understand the client business. And in this episode, we're going to give you some ideas that will help you not to feel like I did. This episode is brought to you in part by Maximizer CRM, personalized CRM that gives you the confidence to improve your business and increase sales. To get a demonstration, go to the show notes and check out Maximizer. This episode is also brought to you in part by Video Jungle Podcast. Learn the ins and outs of the video industry and how it can help you stand out from your competition. To listen to Video Jungle, go to wherever you enjoy your shows and search Video Jungle. Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome to another great episode of the Sales Evangelist Podcast. I'm your host, Donald Kelly, the Sales Evangelist, and I'm so excited for another great episode. I'm so excited to be here with you today. And on this episode, we have an amazing guest. His name is Mr. Paul Cherry. First of all, Paul is energetic. I loved having my conversation with him. He gave me a lot of insight. Paul has decades of selling and training success, and he will share with you some of these ideas today that can help make any seller become effective in their question asking. When I was back in that day trying to speak with Dr. Diaz and trying to set up a conversation, I was having a really difficult time, and it felt like I was pulling teeth and I didn't know where to go. I just felt lost, right? Well, Paul has a book called Ultimate Sales Pro, What the Best Salespeople Do Differently. And he's going to talk about the questions we should be asking, questions that we don't necessarily focus on when we are meeting with our prospect oftentimes. Even if you're a seasoned sales pro, you can go back and listen and take some of these skills and to help set up your conversations effectively. I don't want to take up much more of the time. Paul's going to lay it out for us. Listen, take it, and apply it. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Oh, thank you, Don. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, man, I am excited to talk to you today. This is where the money is at, man. Sellers who know how to ask questions, we just know that's where it's at. I've learned the hard way. Talking too much doesn't work. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you about some of these things and to talk about, you know, questions that sells. But before we dive into all the fun stuff, Paul, why don't you tell us a little bit more about you and what you do? I bragged about you at the beginning, so maybe you can fill in the gaps there.
Okay, well, you know, I've been doing this for 20 plus years. Probably don't want to know the exact years now, but anyway, been excited. I've been exposed to one of the books that's changed my life, Neil Rackham's Spin Selling, you know.
Yes.
You know, and it was 92. I was working for the Carnegie organization as a salesperson, and he gave it to everybody. It was one of those that I dog-eared and ripped apart and put into practice. And I was like, wow, this stuff works. And I knew, because it was all about getting to a customer's pain issues. And the way to get to the pain issues was really to get into what, really getting people to really verbalize and vocalize you know, the concerns if they don't achieve the goals. And if I could get there, I closed the sale. And if I didn't, that was my litmus test. So it was, you know, it was a launching point for me then to, you know, get into, you know, where Neil Rackham fell short though is he didn't craft how do you ask the right questions? How do you craft the good questions?
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, that's where I get into it. Okay. So that's where I wrote the book Questions That Sell. And to this day, Don, I actively live and breathe selling.
I like to hear that, man. It's in my blood too, man. I have to stop selling, I'll probably freak out and like, no, give me something to sell, man. It's just great. I love when I'm just the look on someone's face or the satisfaction when you know you solved a problem for someone. Is maybe it's just like a guy's thing because guys love solving problems. I don't know. But
well, Don, there is something that something I got to track is that is I'd like to turn off all social media and marketing for a month. And just let me go prospect.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Just get out there and go hustle, right?
Yes. Man, I'm really tempted to do that. And I think I will. I want somebody to challenge me.
All right. Challenge. Keep us posted, man. We'll love to hear that. Man.
Yes.
I love your energy. This is great. It's good when you get somebody like Paul on the show. But Paul, let's talk about the problems that we have when it comes. Why is even questioning such an important thing for sellers to comprehend? What is the problem that you see among Salesforce that you work with or sales leaders?
Yeah, and I thank you because it's not limited to salespeople. I'm guilty of this. Mm-hmm. It's the more seasoned, experienced, educated, exposed we are to the issues, whether as a sales manager or a salesperson, we fall into the trap of talking, telling, educating, solving problems. Don't get me wrong. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's this thing, speed of efficiency. We want to get to the point, get to results. And you know what? There's something about human nature and it's basic, you know, questioning and listening. It shows that we care, empathy, building trust and building relationships. That stuff's not going to go away. 21st or 22nd or 25th century. You know, sometimes we lose focus of that. Right?
Yeah, I agree with you on that tremendously. I probably go back, if you go back to the caveman days or whatnot, there had to have been some kind of questioning that people were asking, right? And questions lead, it opens up, like, where did you come from? What cave? Where's your cave? Where'd you find that animal?
Yeah.
You know, and so forth. Yeah. But that's how everything begins. But
That's right. Yeah, you know, I'll give you an example because the story would drive this home. I was looking for some SEO firms and I went to clutch.com because that's where they get the highest ratings. I found five key firms, outstanding ratings, reviews, you know, background experience. So I talked to all five salespeople and they all did a great job. It came to the experience, but they all made one big mistake.
What's that?
Not one took the time to understand my business. It's basic. And that's why I was confused. At the end of talking to five of them, I could not make a decision. There was no differentiator, but on price.
So they said what they thought you wanted to hear and not understand what you were doing.
That's right. That's selling is about engaging people. All right. So let me get in some examples where salespeople fall short. Okay. And, now look, for sales managers listening to this or salespeople, I don't care whether you're brand new to sales or you are highly experienced. Here's what happens in my 1,200 clients that I've worked with to date with sales professionals. 87, when it comes to questioning skills, we may say, okay, in like a live training session, we'll say, okay, everybody get to your flip charts. Come up with your top 10 questions, everyone. You got, you know, 7 minutes in your groups. And so in no order, just randomly post up. So it's just hilarious to see what they come up with. Now, again, I'm just between you and me. I don't humiliate or embarrass people. But here's the reality of what happens, okay? And I challenge any sales manager, you can do this on your own. And that is 87% of the questions that people come up with are in the present questions, okay? Present state, okay? Who are you using now? What's working? How's your day going? What projects you working on? Problems, issues, needs, you know, what are you paying now? How's your vendor working? How are we doing? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then you get 10% that go into the future. And it's, you know, the standard old, what are your goals? Okay. And then about 3% go into the past. And usually it's pretty silly the questions are. And it's usually, how's your weekend? Or how's my service been in the past? And there's where, here's, if you want to change your sales approach or your questioning approach really easily, here's what happens. 87%, if you ask too many questions of the present, guess what happens to you do to your customers?
You bore them.
That's right. You put them to sleep. You bore them. So I say, get out of the present, because where do customers prefer to be? And that is in the future. Why? Yeah. Because in the future, that's where the hopes, dreams, desires, wants. It's always a better place. Ah, but the secret to selling, the secret.
Here we go.
It's getting into the past.
Huh.
Ah, and you want to know why salespeople don't ask questions in the past?
Why is that?
Because they're figure, it's dead. It's done. There's no money there. It's closed. And it's like, no, 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 no. Everything you want to sell into the future is where?
It's in the past.
It's in the past.
So because that's where the problems have been, right? What they've got, you know, the experience.
Yes. Experiences, challenges, frustrations, issues, hurdles. Okay. And people are more willing to open up and disclose past issues because it's like, it's done. It's past history. It's, you know, it's safe and so forth. And people feel, you know, comfortable about that. Even from an ego standpoint, it's like saying, hey, Don, tell me how you got started in this business. Would have been some, tell me about some of the challenges, issues, hurdles you faced in the past and how you overcame them. And if you were to share others to get into this industry, what experiences would you tell them and why? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We talk about people wanting to open up, but rarely do we do that.
Is it just because we don't know? We don't think so? Again, you kind of say because we think the past is dead. Is that the main reason, or salespeople they don't feel that that's going to give them the money?
You know, I'm still trying to figure that out. I really am, because it's like to show you know what? When I ask salespeople that, they go, well, I don't want to dig up, you know, pain issues that we've caused them. I'm like, what?
Shoot.
It's not about you. It's about them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's what gets me. And number two, it's like, well, I want to be respectful. They don't have a lot of time. And so I want to get to the point of why we're here and how I can help them. I'm like, oh my goodness. Yet, you know what? Salespeople will waste a customer's time because they'll talk about sports, hobbies, interests, like the personal things, chit-chat stuff. And I'm like, for 20 minutes? Yeah, because it's interest you.
Yes.
But you want to stroke somebody's ego, make them feel important, valuable, and really get them to talk and develop a connection. The easiest way is in the past, Don.
How do we go about making sure that the... Let's go into the start and asking the right question. How do we ask the right questions now? What should I do? What should I be aware of or not?
Okay, let me give you some examples of that. What we've found is, and again, I don't want to criticize these questions because they have a purpose, they have a role, they have a meaning, but it's like, if we're going to be differentiators, we got to back away. So some of the questions we'll say is, how can we help you? What are you currently working on? What are you paying now? What's your budget? Are you the one that makes the decisions? What might be you looking for? You're open for, you know, doing something different. Who's your vendor now? Again, those kind of things. Here's another thing that goes on.
Sure.
95% of the questions that we asked on begin with the who's, the what's, the where's, the when's, the why's, the how's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not discounting to say that's wrong. But if you want to get more engaging with people, so for example, it's like the question, are you the decision maker? Not that anybody I would hope would ask that question, but is that open-ended or closed-ended? Are you the decision maker?
Oh, it's definitely closed.
Yeah. Are you? And okay. Now I'll ask people in our training programs, is that an important question to ask? And they'll say, yeah. And I'll say, yeah, you're right. Is it a risky question to ask? And then the answer is, well, yeah, it is. Why? Because it might offend or belittle or make somebody feel unimportant. So what I say is, could we ask that question in a better way that would make it more engaging, more comfortable? And so I introduced what I call descriptive openers. It's like describe or tell me, share with me, walk me through, help me understand. So if you take the question, are you the decision maker, and replace it with a descriptive opener, in other words, we would say, well, describe for me your decision-making process. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what I challenge people is that you don't want to ask people a lot of questions because you antagonize, annoy, you know, or put people to sleep. So try to pepper some of your questions with descriptive openers, because like describe for me your decision-making process, what might you get there? You'll find out who's involved, how decisions are made, priorities involved, and when decisions. So you might get three or four questions using a descriptive opener. So I want people to think about that, okay? Using that, because that's going to get more insight in what's going on, all right? I think that's going to be important.
Yeah, what I love about that is it's almost like a, you know, we're trying to work on this together. It's not interrogating, like you're saying, you know, are you the decision maker? I want to make sure we can get everything squared away for you. What's that process like that you guys, you know, use internally,
yes,
whatever it might be?
Yes. And it's almost like, and here's another secret that I get people to talk about is because, you know, a lot of salespeople want to know about how they can get in and disrupt an entrenched competitor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about questions in terms of, okay, well, you know, they'll go in, they'll be fishing around and, you know, and I call it fishing around. So Donna, who are you using now? What do you like about them? What don't you like about them? Would there be an opportunity or something I can quote on? And what happens is with those questions, if that for more or less, if a prospect is fairly satisfied, content with their existing vendor, guess what?
Not going to do anything, no matter
exactly.
What you do.
Exactly. I'm going to get pushed out, dismissed. So what I suggest is, guys, don't even be going there because you're Mm-mm. wasting your time. So here's a way to do it. I go, Don, you know, thanks for allowing me to be here. Appreciate to talk about. So let's talk about some of the changes that you're experiencing when it comes to X. Tell me about some of the changes going on in your department. Tell me about some of the changes going on in your company. Tell me about some of the changes going on in your marketplace. Okay. Mm. Or let's reflect back to what some of the experience when you went with this, you know, when you chose this vendor in the past. Tell me about some of the criteria that was important to you back then. What's changed since then? As you look to the future, what do you see changing in the future? See what I mean? All of a sudden,
yeah.
Why? Because when you ask about change, customers cannot give you that knee-jerk reaction of, oh, everything's content, safe, happy, good, you know. All of a sudden, people are going to react to change like, oh, yeah, we're experiencing change. Oh, yeah, this is going on. We're having this. We're having that. And what I want to do is I want to have people engage me on change. So if I can disrupt them and get them talking about change, I can get in there and talk about the issues and find voids or disparities where that existing vendor's not addressing issues that are important to them.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, Paul is going to continue to outline this questioning process that you can apply to your sales process, doesn't matter what you're selling. So remember I told you about the story with Dr. Diaz, right? Way back in the days, me trying to sell to him and trying to get this conversation going. One of the issues we had this old archaic CRM at the time, right? It was really just built around the servicing side of our business and not around helping the sales professional know how to position the conversation and know how to guide them. It wasn't personable. It was here, project management, that's it, create a quote. If I had something like Maximizer where we could mold it and personalize it according to our needs, it could have been a way better scenario. This is why I recommend CRMs, specifically like Maximizer. Get it customized towards your need and focus on helping your sellers close more deals. If you would like to find out more about Maximizer to at least get a demonstration, go to thesalesevangelist.com/episode906 or simply go to maximizer.com. That's maximizer.com. As we dive back into the second half of this episode, write down some of these questions and apply them today. Check them out and let me know how it works for you. You can go back into our Facebook group or you can email myself or Paul and, you know, tell us how it worked. But his information is in the show notes and you can always just go to the Sales Evangelizers on Facebook and drop me a note as well. But let's dive back into the second half and take some notes here.
See, that's how you do it. But when I go directly about the vendor areas, you're going to just get pushed away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does it make sense?
Oh, it makes total sense. And I feel that, you know, it's very actionable that somebody, one of us can take that right away today and go try it and to test it out.
Oh, yes.
I guess one of the things too that happens is when do you know what type of questions to ask to help move that conversation further? Because you have sellers, like you said, they'll jump into their first conversation. And they just don't know where to start. Let's pretend I'm brand new to sales. Could you just guide me on questions I should ask from the start to the get-go, different types that you would share?
Well, here's what I would, you know, that's a great question. I want salespeople to start always in when I'm new. And this is probably, it's going to be great for sales. When you're new, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's real important that they could almost use the, and this goes for back to IBM days of 1960s, which was the what I call the BANT, what is it? Budget Authority Needs Timing. So I want to be careful with that, though, because there's some things I don't like about that. But so I would shake it up and say, I want to say, tell me about some of you know, when I say needs, let's talk about some of the your existing areas, what's going on in your world, okay? What's mm-hmm. working, what's not. So I might, and I don't want to ask the word need so much, but I'll talk about, you know, what are some of the challenges? I want to get into some problems, because where there's problems, there's opportunities. See what I mean? Yeah. So, but this budget and authority, you got to be real careful, because it's like, hey, you got a budget, you know, or, and again, what we talked about earlier, authority, are you the decision maker? See, that's where that BANT really falls apart.
Yeah.
So I would recommend, though, that as a salesperson, new or experienced, you really want to be looking at, okay, are there problems or opportunities? Because where there's a problem, there's going to be something that hopefully you'll be able to solve. All right. Mm-hmm. I would go into what I call, though, you know, talk about some of the existing situation versus where people want to be. So it gets back to what I said about, let's ask about, you know, let's talk about some of the changes that you're experiencing now. Where is your organization going in the future? Where are you looking to differentiate yourself from your competition? See, things like that. I think it's real important that we start at 10,000 feet before we dive deep and start asking about how can I help you or what are you paying now? Because salespeople want to go right at 500 feet, 200 feet, and it's like the customer's not there yet. And they feel like, you know, it's almost like you got your hand in their pocket trying to feel for any money there. And if a customer you know, like you're trying to manipulate or exploit them, they will just push you out. And it's like, I don't have time to talk to you.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So I think that's going to be key to what work on as well. But there's something else that I think would be really important. And here's something I found. I was one of those people that when I got out of college, Don, I suffered from ADD, ADHD.
Yeah. You know?
And I didn't have a diagnosis back then. And it was all about, I had a sales manager who, you know, we went out on a sales call and he just ripped me apart, said, you don't listen. You don't listen. I go, I don't. I know. You're right. And I was like, I want to learn. Teach me. Tell me how to do it. And I say, well, how should I be a better listener? He goes, I don't know. You'll have to figure it out. Because reality is, guess what? Nobody really knows how to teach listening.
Yeah.
So here's what the secret is to listening. And because I struggle with it, because when I ask a question as a sales professional and you as a customer starts talking, what do you think me as a salesperson automatically starts thinking about next?
Oh, my next thing.
There you go. That's right. That next question, what I'm going to say. So here's a secret that helps salespeople, new or experienced, where you no longer have to think of the next question. Because that customer will give you the question to ask. Hmm. And it goes like this, you know, and I'll make something up. It's like you as a customer might say as well, yeah, we've been thinking about some new opportunities. Well, okay, we're thinking about some new projects we want to pursue. Okay, I'll say that again. We're thinking about some new project to pursue. And I'm thinking as a salesperson, whoa, where do I go with that? Now, first of all, the worst thing you do is, we new projects to pursue. Guess what? I can help you. Let me tell you about what we can do. That's the worst thing you can do as a salesperson. And guess what? 50% of salespeople go there. And what gets me is the people with 20 years of experience will go there. A crime, a sin. And the best thing you do is you can stop and say, Don, you know, here's the challenge though, is it's knowing which word to lock onto. I call it a lock on. Because you've given me a word and I need to take that word. Now, when I ask people, okay, which word should you lock onto? They're all over the place. And it's like, well, I don't know. Should it be project or opportunities? And the word is, you want to listen to the verb. The verb was thinking. Okay. So I'll say, Don, you mentioned the word thinking. Can you tell me more about your thought process? What you've been looking at, you know, so far? What's your criteria you're considering? What are you hoping? See what I mean? I got four questions just on the word thinking.
Yeah.
So I recommend that. Yeah, go there.
And I think also one of the cool things with that, when you ask about thinking, it's more, there's a reason why they're moving forward, right? And that's going to give me so much, as opposed to me jumping in and saying, hey, you know, buy this, you know, widget or whatnot. There's a reason why you're looking to do this. And like you said, you're going to get a lot when they say their thinking process. They might say, yeah, you know, we're thinking to do it because of this reason. I might get down to the core, like, what, why now? You know, you can get down into the probably some really good information of what was really going on, as opposed to, yeah, we can help you build a new structure. It's like, well, what's the proper reason? Do they really have to build a new structure right now?
Yes.
And could I be delivering value to you by saying, you know, Paul, you know, I had a client in the same situation. I don't recommend that you do the building right now. and here's the reasons why. This is what they saw.
That's right. You hit on something that is, you nailed it. And that is, I need to get to the motivations.
See, yeah.
80% of the time, and we have this Dartnell Research Institute. Whenever I start a training program, I talk about, okay, the percentage of the time that customers, and I say the word customers, not prospects, customers are telling you what is on their minds. Hmm. And I'll ask people, is it high or low, the percentage? And they'll say, well, no, it's the percentage is very low. And I'll say, yeah, get that. Isn't that interesting? Established relationships. You know, 20% of the time, people will tell you what's on their minds. And it's this concept is they're holding back information, this emotional barriers. It's because of lack of trust, honesty, rapport, or they're manipulating you or shopping around or who knows what. There's a host of reasons why. So what I tell, the reason for questioning is that I need, you know, if people are holding back what they're telling me, I need to understand what is it you're not telling me in the motivations. So ultimately, my whole job as a sales professional is to understand the emotional drivers. And if I can, like you said about that word, why, that's the heart of selling, getting to the motivations. We'll get to the heart of the sale. Selling is not complicated.
You know, and my philosophy, and I could be totally wrong, but for over the years of me doing it, I remember when I went to my first training program, I did B2C sale, and cool. That was pretty cool. That was fun.
Yeah.
You know, I sold to, you know, to door-to-door security and
wow.
You know, the server, cool. And I did like, you know, Dish Network over the phone and
awesome.
IT classes to individuals. But when I started selling to businesses post-college, I had my tail handed to me. And I realized I didn't know what I was doing. I went through a training program and it was night and day, Paul. Like the next day, like pretty much getting on a phone, I had so much more confidence. I knew what to say. And I realized that there was just a simple process you had to follow when you come to selling. And my philosophy ever since then is that anyone can sell with the desire, because you can find, you know, people who, you know, think they, if you don't have the desire to sell, if you don't have a desire to do something, a reason, your personal motivation, no matter what training we give you, it's not going to work. You got to have that desire. And I, that's my philosophy and it's worked well for me, but I agree with you that anyone, sales is not too difficult. It is not that complicated. No. It's not rocket science.
No. And a lot of sales trainers in my industry will try to come up with a new spin or whatever. And I'm going to be frank with you. Okay. There's very little new out there. Okay.
I know.
People like to play that game. And if it's complicated, because I feel selling, if it doesn't work in your personal world with your loved ones, your peers, your cohorts, and internally, on a professional, personal level, it's got to have a similar approach with customers as well, right?
It ain't going to work anywhere else, man.
That's right. So, but yeah, my philosophy is this. It's three things that I say when it comes to make selling work. Number one, because my expertise, I'm biased here, but I'll say number one is ask the right questions, okay? Mm-hmm. Ask the right question. Number two, engage the right people.
Mm-hmm.
That's number two. You know, if you're not engaging the right people, you know, somebody says, well, I need to run this by the boss or talk. Why aren't we and that's the third step, is qualify the right opportunities. So it's like, you know, when you ask the right questions with the right people and find out the right opportunities, because there are some people where it's like, there's just no receptivity for change. Stop beating down a dead, you know, trying to beat down a dead door. Yes, yeah. Touch, but you got to focus your energy and resources on people who are receptive and motivated for change, right?
So, man, so darn true. Loving it, Paul.
Yeah.
If there's one major takeaway you'd like folks listening to this episode to walk away with, what's that one major piece of advice?
I mean, that's going to be it. The right questions with the right people and the right opportunities. All right. That's going to be the key to make it being successful. And I would say, in fairness though, listening is even more important than questioning. Okay.
What's that?
Listening.
I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm slow, buddy. Don, you know what though? And that is, but as we, and I would say is, and you do this discreetly, but on occasion, record a call. And it's like, you, because we always think that what a great call is, you know, the quality of a great call is this: who did most of the talking? If the customer did most of the talking, guess what? Great call. If the salesperson did most of the talking, no, not a good call. So
true, man. Well, if listeners out there want to get in touch with you, they enjoy chatting with our chat today and learning some of these great insights and they want to learn from you further, where should they go about doing that?
Oh, just type in all one word, my name, Paul Cherry, cherry like the fruit, paulcherry.com. Okay,
Paul,
and I got 75 best questions to close more sales. That's all based on our, you know, 1,200 clients we've worked to date, 1,000 sales professionals, top sales professionals we've worked with. It's a great resource. You'll see that. Download it. And I welcome anybody who wants a 20-minute exploratory, you know, no charge consultation to explore. Happy to have a conversation with you guys. Okay. Absolutely.
Love it. Well, Paul, we truly appreciate your time today and your willingness to share some advice. Thank you again for coming on the show.
Don, my pleasure. Thank you.
I'm telling you, your question asking part of your sales process is the most important. If you ask right questions, money will flow to you. Magic will happen. And I feel like myself, back in the days, that was my weakest area, not knowing how to ask effective questions. If you feel that you need to improve, your questions are not where they need to be, go back to the show notes. 906, thesalesevangelist.com/episode-906. Learn from him. Check out his book. Connect with him and ask questions. He's, as you heard in the episode, he is that personable, and he'll be more than willing to give you some ideas or to answer questions or give you insights or share with you content that he has. Again, go to the show notes, thesalesevangelist.com/episode-906. Now, while you're on the show note page, it's important that you also check out Maximizer. Even if you have a CRM in place right now and you don't think you're going to switch anytime soon, get the demonstration. The worst case scenario is that you can learn and to see what's out there and how it can help your organization when you guys are ready to switch. And perhaps you're in a situation where your CRM is not delivering the value that you need. You need to check out Maximizer. All of this is in our show notes, thesalesevangelist.com/episode-906. I share stuff like this because I want to help you. I want you to find more ideal customers. I want you to build stronger value. I want you to close more deals. But most importantly, I want to challenge you every single day to go out and do big things. I hope you enjoyed this episode today as much as I did. And if you did, go back again and share it with your friends, share it with your colleagues, share it with your family members. You know someone else in sales. That's how it is in our arena, right? We have connection with a lot of different people who are selling things. Let them know about the podcast and how it can help them and show them how they can subscribe as well. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you are enjoying your podcasts. Our show today was produced by myself and the Sales Podcast Network. It was edited and mixed together by Mr. Jershon O'Bale. Our content writer and show note creator is Mrs. Shannon Rasmussen. You can find audio credits for this and all of our episodes in the show notes. And as always, I am your host, your coach, your mentor, your guide down the sales journey, Mr. Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist. Sales Podcast Network.